The Supreme Court revisits the issue of affirmative action today. It's a case testing whether a federal program to help disadvantaged businesses amounts to race and sex discrimination. At issue is whether the federal government's multi-billion dollar program for highway construction is constitutional. The justices will consider the statutes and regulations that award a tiny percentage of federal highway money to businesses presumed to be socially and economically disadvantaged because they're owned by minorities or women. The program before the court today has been significantly changed over the years to meet high court objections. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
This is the third trip to the Supreme Court for the plaintiff in this case, Adirond Constructors, a Colorado Springs guardrail construction company that lost a bid on a federally financed project, even though Adirond was the low bidder. The Supreme Court eventually balked at the way the program was structured, but did not strike it down outright. And afterwards, the Clinton administration revised the program dramatically, dropping financial bonuses that had been awarded to contractors when they hired minority subcontractors. The new regulations also made it harder to have racial preferences and easier to challenge them. But Randy Pesch, one of the owners of Adirond, has continued to challenge the program.
I don't feel like we have gotten redress. We still have a program in effect that is awarding contracts based on somebody's race and gender. I feel like I'm in the exact same place I was 10 years ago. Everybody except the white male will have an advantage over me when bidding highway work to the state of Colorado and to the federal government.
The Bush administration, however, is supporting the program in the Supreme Court today, taking essentially the same position that the Clinton administration did. Seth Waxman served as Solicitor General in the Clinton administration.
As the case comes to the court, the only arguable racial preference in the program, insofar as it applies to Adirond, is one that the government says is not available in the states in which Adirond does business, and moreover, is not mandatory in any way.
The government argues that under the new regulations it drew up after the first Adirond ruling, the Commerce Department is required to make a study of each geographical area to determine if there's a significant statistical difference between the number of qualified minority and women-owned businesses available to do such work and the number who are actually getting contracts. Former Solicitor General Waxman.
The Department of Commerce has concluded that there remain persistent, significant disparities only in, I think, 15 or 16 states, none of which is anywhere remotely near the geographic area in which Adirond does business. And the Department of Transportation and Department of Justice regulations now in place forbid the use of any racial preferences whatsoever in any areas in which there is not a present significant disparity.
The United States is wrong.
William Perry Pendley of the Conservative Mountain States Legal Foundation represents Adirond Constructors.
To be socially disadvantaged in this country under this program, all one need to do is to be a member, to hold oneself as a member of one of 42 racial groups.
In many ways, the briefs filed by the two sides in this case are like two ships passing in the night. They don't even agree on the facts. While the government notes that in order to be designated a disadvantaged business, or DBE, the owner must show his net worth to be less than $750,000, Adirond's lawyers say that's irrelevant because using that standard, most business owners would qualify. While the government argues that under the program, any provision that helps minority businesses can be easily challenged by a competitor and just as easily waived, Adirond says that's not true. And while the government says the program does not apply in Colorado anyway, Adirond says that's not true either. Adirond's lawyer, Mr. Pendley.
The program applies in Colorado. We provided three documents done by the federal government in which three contracts were issued within the past year and a half in Colorado in which an award to DBEs was mandated by federal law. Adirond bid on those contracts and lost all three of them.
Was Adirond the low bidder on this contract?
Doesn't matter if Adirond was the low bidder. Could not compete on an equal footing. It was not the low bidder, but that is irrelevant.
Assuming the Supreme Court can overcome these factual disputes, the court could address some major affirmative action issues in this case. The justices have said in their decisions over the last decade that for a racial preference to be justified, it must be narrowly tailored to address a compelling state interest, such as overcoming the effects of past racial discrimination. But what kind of evidence does Congress have to show a compelling interest, and how narrowly must the program be tailored? Adirond asserts that Congress must base its decision on contemporary studies, and that Congress did not do that when it reauthorized the law in 1998. Adirond's Mr. Penley.
The fact of the matter is, many of those studies were not done when Congress made its decision, so they were not relied upon by Congress.
But former Solicitor General Waxman calls that argument disingenuous.
Congress is kind of in a position of being damned if it does and damned if it doesn't. If Congress was acting upon one or two very recent studies that showed compelling evidence of past or present racial discrimination, they would be, and in the past have been, chastised for acting only on the basis of a few studies that deal only with a limited period of time. Here, I think Congress is being chastised for having studied this problem over almost three decades, which by definition, of course, means that some of the studies are 30 years old.
And finally, Adirond and its lawyers suggest that if affirmative action can ever be justified, it would only be to correct discrimination by the government itself. That's a suggestion that some members of the court have hinted at, but until now there's been no majority for. The court, in fact, has been deeply split on the affirmative action issue, with Justice Sandra Day O'Connor casting the deciding vote in a variety of such cases. In the first Adirond case, she wrote that the court wished to dispel the notion that applying the highest level of scrutiny to a racial preference program meant that it is strict in theory but fatal in fact. In short, she seemed to be suggesting racial preferences can survive in some circumstances. But as former Solicitor General Waxman observes, over the past decade, the court has made it more and more difficult to survive such strict scrutiny.
That's the reason why some have suggested that maintaining the constitutionality of any sort of preference like this might be akin to finding the 13th floor in a hotel, which one would think exists in theory, but if you get in the hotel elevator and try and find the button for the 13th floor, you can search for a long time to no avail.
A decision in the Adirond case is expected after the first of the year. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.